But wasn't great portion by Pastor Anil? Give the Lord a hand for that message. Beautiful. If I said give him a hand, some of you that don't like him will not clap. So remember what I said, give the Lord a hand, so you have no choice. Many things that were communicated in a message I have written, and he was praying. Ephesians 3, unsearchable. I have all this written down here. Please don't eat my message up. Have you ever studied for a message like for 10 minutes in an introduction to one of the guys, and then you studied so hard that you preached a message in 2 minutes? And that is what we're going to talk about today. So Father, bless the morning as you already have. We think of our church in this nation. You know, we want your spirit to move in our midst. It is not the lateness of the hour that we are preoccupied with, but the urgency of the times that we live in. Father, bless each one here, and bless, speak to our hearts, needs unspoken of needs that are there necessary. Help us in these days as we enter into the culmination of Christmas to recognize the awesomeness of who you are, that when we look in the mirror in 2 Corinthians 3:18, we behold the glory of God. That is what the word says, and we accept it by faith tonight, today. Lord, Father, we pray. Thank you for the things that you have provided for us, and also thank you for the things that you have withheld from us because of your foreknowledge and omniscience. Thank you, God, for your sovereign overruling will over our lives. If not, we could have plunged into places that there was no turning back. But thank you that your hand of mercy picked us up. Father, thank you, God. Pray for Sarah's mom today. Pray for Jansi's mom who's recovering. Pray, Lord, our parents, the elderly in our churches, we pray. People in nursing homes, people may have no one to visit them. We pray this Christmas time, this month, not just because of the Christmas, but we develop a heart of compassion for just not the lost, but the needy and the ones that are deserted. Father, we pray. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. We have baptisms. Do we? Those who are getting baptized, please practice deep breathing. Because the two people that will be involved are having a bad day today. I remember at Campus Crusade, there was a group of people coming in, and the pastor baptized a person, and he was praying, and he forgot that his right hand was over that person, and I saw bubbles coming out, and I had to tell that person, just please sing a song when you're out of the water. No, don't put your hand down. In the book of Ephesians, in the 3rd chapter, the apostle Paul is overwhelmed as he's in prison. Writing this letter, he is overwhelmed by the love of God. He's overwhelmed by the love of God to the point that the Holy Spirit inspires him, where he is taking his pen and is writing on the parchments these prayers that the Holy Spirit has inspired him to pray. From chapter 3, verse 14 to 3, verse 21, I asked you at some point of time to consider reading the prayers of the Apostle Paul. And I asked you at the last time on Sunday, can you hear me there? Okay. By the way, this is temporary. We're going down. Pastor Anil said we're going to eternity, but we're also going down. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4, Revelation 2, verse 4, Paul is the Apostle John is writing to the church at Ephesus. And he's saying to the church of Ephesus, repent from where you have fallen. Repent from where you have fallen. And he's telling them that they have actually, what? What is it that they are saying in the book of Revelation, the second chapter, in the fourth verse? But I have this against you, that you have. Now there are many, many interpretations of this verse, but let's not worry too much about first and second and third. But even let's worry, let's think about that love. He is writing there to the church in Ephesus from 16 onwards. There is a progression that is taking place. The ultimate objective of that progression that takes place is here, that a believer will be brought to this amazing place where he may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the length, the breadth, the height, and the depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge. Now let's think about this for a moment here. Whenever the Bible talks about an expression of God's benevolence, or an expression of God's grace, or an expression of God's mercy, or an expression of God's loving kindness, or an expression of God's faithfulness, or an expression of God's forbearance, or an expression of God's goodness, it always speaks with words that are superlative. You cannot find, when these words mentioned, you just cannot find it in the comparative sense. I know God is greater than me. Of course, that is obvious, pretty obvious. That is a comparative sense. But this goes beyond the comparative into the superlative. It goes from the measurable to the immeasurable. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, when the Apostle Paul, verses 10 to 12, is being pursued by his adversaries and those people that are against him, and they are mocking him in terms of his ministry and his style of communication, because they say from history that the Apostle Paul was quite a short man. He was bald. He had a squeaky voice. So imagine when you're pulling a chair with an iron base, what kind of sound it makes. Paul, it says, they say that my speech is contemptible, but his letters are heavy duty. His speech is contemptible. So he says, therefore now we do not measure ourselves by ourselves. The Apostle Paul had reached the stage where he would only measure himself with the immeasurable. And when he would learn how to measure himself with the immeasurable, he would look at the comparative aspect so as not to be judgmental or critical, but to be able to dispense that which he had received in relationship to the superlative. So Jesus is coming and he is walking in the streets of Jerusalem, and he's pausing and he's saying, unless your righteousness surpasses the righteousness of the Pharisees, you can in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. That's the word. Unless your righteousness surpasses. So in the Greek tenses, now I sometimes study, I go on a journey with these verses, because I don't have to work an 8-hour job like you. I'm unemployed. Just kidding. Sometimes you think, better to have worked than to have counseling. Because no matter how much you counsel, how much you love, how much you edify, in the end you always get the bad name. Like I played in a certain position on the field. Never once my coach said, you did a great job. So even if you won, he said, you could have done better. I like that because and this is it. Everything that is at variance, everything that come against us, everything that is critical, everything that is slanderous, everything that is malignant, everything that is hostile, should never cause us to become static in our Christianity, it should get us to enter into the depths of the superlatives of God. Say amen to that.
Amen.
What? What did I say? Take every possible thing. Now, I'm not saying I've arrived at this stage. Huh? Philippians 3, none of us have apprehended yet. I am saying God has so designed us and has so determined from the viewpoint of redemption that we can enter into the superlatives or the surpassing greatness of that which He has prepared for us in our situation that we are in. The Apostle Paul is saying, I'm writing to you from prison. Do not be worried about me, but let this situation that I am in glorify God. I am saying that the Holy Spirit, he's saying, the Apostle Paul is saying, that the Holy Spirit has breathed upon me to pen this, and I'm writing these things down to you, that even though you are slaves from that background, and you are viewed as people that are intellectually deficient, intellectually, yet I am telling you, you can come into contact with a knowledge that surpasses, with a love that surpasses knowledge. That you might be filled with the dimensions, four dimensions of God's love, and that you might enter into the fullness of God. Christianity does not view people, does not see people from the viewpoint of being intellectually deficient. It views people from the viewpoint of potentially being filled with the fullness of God. One person said, when there is a fragrance that is put upon us, when you use fragrance, scents, whatever, it can never be dissected. You can only, it's not dissected, it's appreciated. It's the aroma, the fragrance of it, it gives a certain kind of a flavor. Similarly, with the love of God. The love of God can never be analyzed or dissected. You see, when there are complications, Paul told Timothy, the Apostle Paul told Timothy, don't get complicated with endless genealogies and old wives' tables and so-called false science. It will knock you off. There is a tendency today for young men, I don't know about women, to enter to the apologetic field instead of, nothing wrong with that, I have no problem, you study it as much as you want, and they get bored with studying the Word of God, and they enter into the apologetic field, and after entering into the apologetic field, they cannot talk to a normal person about simple things, because they are apologists. One fine day, they are sitting with the devil, and the devil is the most greatest apologist of all time. And I'm not saying that we have, you know, Ravi Zachariah, David Jeremias, and Norman Geisler, all these different men of God, and you know, we have their resources, we teach them all. But I'm just saying, there is an element in love that is deep, but also very simple. Now we have a nursery here, correct? Would you like to apologetically deal with these kids that are in a nursery? Now, some of these kids can't talk yet. How would you relate to them apologetically? What is that? What did you just say? I don't know. I just, the kid, you know, if I talk to the kid, they won't know. God, you know, He's looking at His creation, especially those that are redeemed, and the redeemed ones are trying to pray to Him intellectually. God, Theos. You are, that is first person singular, Estin. God is looking down in there. What is He trying to say to me? You know, we're not living our life all the time, you know, with perfection and incorrectness. And, you know, Christianity is not complicated. It's very simple. It's a relationship. It's a relationship with God. This relationship with God gives me tremendous responsibility. It's not possible to be careless as a Christian if you know the God of the Bible that I'm talking about today. And I want to say a few things because we have a series coming up. We'll talk about it. Apostle Paul is saying, praying. He's praying in a way by which they may come into possession of those things which he is saying, but they have not reached that place yet. Correct? It's like you saying, oh, I wish you were able to. You know, that means it is a desire. It is a wish. I wish you were able to come into those possession of things, but it's not yet. So the woman is praying, I wish God you would give my husband some intelligence. Abigail is praying to God for Nabal. Lord, I just wish Nabal take off the helmet from his head. You know, I wish this. Nothing wrong. Great prayer. Wanting to, but not coming into possession of it. What? Wanting to, but not coming into possession of it yet. It is possible that the person may come into possession of it, but in order to come into the possession of it, one must come to a knowledge of what God wants me to have. Are you awake? Yes. Don't go to sleep on me. You didn't go to sleep on Pastor Anil? No, I'm kidding. See, now I'm comparing. We are not people that are living like the have-nots. In economy, there are the haves and there are the? In the Bible, there is no have and have-nots. In the Bible, there are people that can have beyond what they can ask or think. That is why we are different from everybody else. Yes, we are in a body of flesh and blood. We are just like everybody else physically, but we are not like everybody else spiritually. The world is religious out there. We are not religious people. We are spiritual people, born of the Spirit. From the first day we entered into the kingdom of God by faith and believing that Jesus, the Son of God, eternal in the heavens, came down as a man, incarnated in human form, lived his life on the earth for 33 years, kept everything that was possibly there in terms of the laws of God, and then went on the cross as a perfect sacrifice for the sins of the whole world, the ransom price being the shed blood on the cross of Calvary, was buried the third day, rose again, and ascended and went into heaven, and took his place at the right hand of the Father. From that time onwards, waiting that, what? Everything is subject unto his feet, waiting for the last enemy, death, to be basically dealt with. And you and I, by virtue of our faith in Christ, have been placed there in heavenly places. So we have something phenomenal given to us by God. God wants this to be translated into thought, word, and deed. That means God is looking to a Christian from the viewpoint of not just supplication, but he's looking to the Christian from the viewpoint of application, because he is come into possession of those things that God has prepared for him. The Apostle Paul is saying, my prayer to the Ephesian church is you will come into possessions of those things. It has not happened yet, but it is going to happen. I want you to know what this is all about so that you can function in the dimensions of this love. Now, a few more minutes. He uses this expression, we said in the last service, that you might be able to comprehend. In English it says that you might be able, it says no, that you might be fully able. Now the word fully able is a very interesting word, because it seems like it is not possible for a person to receive it unless he's first told about it. It's like this. You have some amazing news. You have this news, it's in you, it's contained in, but you're a little afraid that if you tell the other person that news, that person might collapse. This is not bad news. This is? So you tell the other person, okay, I'm going to tell you something. The person, okay, prepare yourself for it. What do you mean? Prepare yourself for it. Because what I'm going to say to you is so overwhelming that you might not be able to handle. Are you able to receive it? And the person, wait. Is it good news or is it? That word that you might be able is a word. Now it says here in 3:16 that you would be strengthened by his Spirit in the inner man. So that is the first part. You are strengthened. You are a Christian. and I'm a Christian, but we have weaknesses, correct? We're still frail. So the Apostle Paul is saying, I want you to first be strengthened with power through His Spirit inside thee, because you're still frail and weak. But this is the other strengthening. This is the strengthening that relates to our understanding. One is related to empowerment, correct? Empowerment, enablement. The other one is related to illumination. What is the point if God has revealed something to me in the spirit if I'm not able to put it into action? So He must not only illuminate me, that means light, He must also enable me to execute. So it says, every time the Apostle Paul uses this expression, it says, according to the power that mightily works in me. Or he says, according to the effectual working in His power. Which means what? There is an operation happening. What is the operation? The operation is, he is able to comprehend it. So there's an expression of the mind being focused so as to receive, and then it is deposited into the heart. So there is the affections now that are there in the heart, and he's saying, I want you to be able to understand these things about the love of God. Now this word love is a love in the highest form. There are four words for love: agapeo, philos, eros, and stroge, and that's not important. But this love is not just a love that was used in ordinary language. In the days of the Greek philosophers, they thought that this love, agapeos, is the love of the gods, is the love of the divine, it's a love of the supernatural, which cannot ever be comprehended by anybody on an earthly sphere. The only love that can be comprehended on an earthly sphere is the philos love. That means I like you because you love me. You like cricket, I like grasshoppers. I mean, no, it's a game. Cricket is a game, so there's a joke about it. I'll tell you it later. No, you like this food, I like this food. You have this hobby, I have this hobby. Philos is a love of friendship. But agapeo is not a love of friendship. Agapeo is a love that is not of the emotion. It is a love that is of the mind, can be expressed in the emotion. It is love in abstract. So nobody could attain to that kind of love. Agapeo love was a love that was directed to an object that was not worthy of love being directed to it. It was not just love that looked at the person from the viewpoint of finding pleasure in. It looked at someone that it was directed to someone because it felt that that person was precious. Difference. When two people have something common, they derive pleasure from that which they have in common. This is not it. This is that the person, agapeo, looks at the preciousness of a person, ascribes value to, esteems the other person. It has nothing to do with taking pleasure. The holiness of God, when it looked down at the sinfulness of man, could not take pleasure in the sinfulness of man. Correct? Yes or no? Are you with me? Cannot take pleasure in the sinfulness of man. So agapeo demonstrates its love by placing the same value that God placed on man through creation, but now places it in redemption. And how was this love manifested? God just loved the world, or as Pastor Shibeli says, God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And through Jesus Christ, that love that was in abstraction, seemingly that love that was not possible to behold, that love was not possible to comprehend, that love that was not possible to experience, the Holy Spirit took that work right out of Greek philosophy, and so the Holy Spirit brought it into the Christian vocabulary and said, it is possible now to experience the highest form of God's love through the Holy Spirit because of Calvary. This is the love that governs you and me as believers. It's not a subjective. It is subjective and it comes into the heart, but it's objective. A person can learn how to think with that love. 1 Corinthians 13:4-8. So, that you might be able to what? Get a hold of. In Ephesians 6:18. James 5:16-17. When a person understands this kind of love in his prayer, he gets a grip of God. What does he do? In his supplication, he gets a grip of God. When he takes a hold of God like that, God takes a hold of him. Do you remember? In the historical books, when the arrow was being shot and the person took his hands and put it on the other person's hands and he shoots the arrow. When you function in this capacity, we are resisting the enemy, because God's love has taken a grip on us. When God's love takes a grip on us, resisting the enemy becomes very easy. You are delivered from all kinds of reactions, all kinds of onslaughts, all kinds of verbal statements, all kinds of high things that come from the atmosphere, because all those things are against the love of God. A slave in a market bought, working for his boss, in Ephesians chapter 6, slaves, be obedient to your masters. In a home where they have servile services, they are just to work from morning to evening, is in the church at Ephesus. He gets a hold of Paul's letter. He looks at it. He reads it. He just got beaten by his master for maybe not doing something, or got abused. He's sitting down there and he's reading that letter, Ephesians 3, 16, 17, 18, 19, and he's thinking, wow. His master in the home is wondering why this guy is not reacting to the injustice done by the master. But the guy is not so much preoccupied by the injustice done to the master, because the injustice done to the son, by which we got gift as an eternal life, was nothing compared to the injustice that is done to us. I'm not saying that there are certain times where you can't fight for your rights. I'm just saying this, that when a person comes into comprehension of these things, he is just manifesting something that an ordinary person just cannot manifest. I'm not saying, remember this, the first is the natural, the second is the spiritual. The reaction is automatically there. The mental agitation, all these things come in first. But then, the Holy Spirit, what does He do? Brings out of the memory, Pastor Anil said, cleansing. Let me say that in a simple way. Proverbs 10:7. I know it is regarding to people that the righteous and the wicked. One is, you know, the people that have died and gone. I'm not saying, but the principle I'm talking is that the memory of the righteous is blessed. When two people want to enter into marriage, and they come to us not to ask permission whether they can get married. That is already decided before God in their personal privacy. But to maybe receive counsel, to prepare for marriage. Let me say it again. I want to say it, be very clear. And two people come, they want to be married, which is a gift of God, the divine institution of the Bible, and they decide that they are called to be married. One lives in Mars, the other one lives in Venus. They both come together. Meaning what? They are man and woman, not man and woman and woman. And they say, Pastor, we have heard from God, we want to be married. And they, you know, and they say, you know, and they come to counsel. They don't come to counsel to be married. They come to counsel for, that would help them in prepper. Just as you just heard through hearsay or rumors from one of the four hierarchies of demonic hosts, of Ephesians 6, 11, 12, 13, that have been incarnated in human flesh, sitting in the rows. Just remember that that is not the policy of the ministry. The pastor teacher is not the free volition of the congregation. Say that. In your mind. It's not. We are not those that lord it over your faith. We are those that are helpers of your joy. 2 Corinthians 1:24. Now, if you are such a person as a man that's going to swallow up the woman that you get married, I will tell the woman that. And unfortunately, she may go and tell the man, this is what Pastor Brian said of you, and I did say it, and I can't help it. Because if I didn't say it, then she would swallow him. I wouldn't say that in those many words. I would say, pray and consider. Why, Pastor? He's not a good guy. I say, pray and consider. Couple of months later, Pastor, you were right, but you can't change anything. I'm not saying we are only, I'm just saying, pray in. Now, why is it that Paul is writing these things? Because this understanding is my insulation against anything that can come against me to the uncertainty of the depravity of the other person. So as to not have my life destroyed, even though things may happen to me, I can still be a fully spirit-filled, functional Christian and not go around in a dysfunctional manner as a believer. So I tell people, develop a spiritual capacity for God before you enter into these kind of sacred decisions in the kingdom. Marriage is not for people that are immature. It's not just boy meeting girl and two people just thinking like we'll be close together, we'll be in one house, we'll share the same bed and all that. Complications happen if there is more than one room. I'm just telling you today in a very creative way. Paul is saying to the Ephesian church that there is a weight in God's love. I'll close with that. What is it? There is a meaning what? There could be in the manifestation of God's love a revelation of the burden that you might need to carry. Here's a guy on the cycle. He's carrying 50 boxes on his back on a cycle. What is in those boxes? Laddus. You don't know it. It's in the box. He's carrying it on the cycle. He's going. What are they? Sweets. He's not carrying iron. What is he carrying? Only when he trips and falls and the box opens up and you see laddus, you must be wondering, oh my God. Now this is it. Let me ask. I'm talking to myself also. I'm closing. Have we really at some point of time taken the time to contemplate the weight that love puts on us? Have we discerned it to the point where we have allowed it for our lives? Because this love is weighty. It has weight. One of the words for glory is what? Weight. So when Jesus Christ said, my Father, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He on Calvary felt the weight of sin. But when he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, that was the weight of love. I tell a person, you have a problem in your relationship. Have you allowed God to express to you in a deep way the weight of his love for that person that you now are having a problem with? This is not about what I am, what I should do and what I should not do. This is not about this. This is about being able to comprehend. You get my point today? This is about God preparing me to contemplate. That is why in some risk-taking assignments, you have to write down that you are going to do what you are doing of your own free will and nobody has coerced you into that, correct? Go to the operation theater, The doctor says this is something as we have to do, but we're not really sure whether it's going to work. It's life and death. It's 50-50. Therefore, this is the form. And what is it on the form? In case the operation is not successful, you cannot blame anyone because you are doing it of your own free. Do we sign there? Then how come we don't sign when God gives us the form? You get my point? God is giving the form. Brian, assignment. Possibility. Death. Huh? Assignment. Possibly. Starvation. Huh? Operate. Possibly. Relational crisis. Huh? Not with your wife, with your body members. Possibility. Split in church. Conspiracy. After it has grown to a couple of hundred. Huh? What is it in? Jail. No, that cannot happen. God is giving us all that on the form. What are we doing in the computer test? Yes and no. No, 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 no. At the end of it, 100% enlisted for the call. It is possible through ignorance and negligence and carelessness, we might have forgotten the word, simple word, able. No man is capable of loving his wife like Christ loves the church unless he is given that power to do it. So just because I'm not able to do it, I can't tell the wife, you know what? I'm just a human being. I'm just who I am. The wife must give him one solid one, wake him up from his sleep. Don't hit your husband. Now, he cannot love her in the measure that Christ loved her unless he is unable to love, for which he has to go to God. He doesn't go to God in the first couple of years of marriage. Everything is bad breath and all indigestion and all fine. Down the road, the kind of dish, you can see daylight between the two. First it's a small ray of light, then it's daylight. I'm not saying, you know, that this doesn't happen. I'm just saying, the Holy Spirit says, hey, come here. Come here. Read that verse. And God, through the Spirit, speaks to the pulpit and he says, listen, this is possible because I've prepared you. I've prepared it for you. But you have not come into the mystery of the recipe yet. Now that you've come into that amazing recipe and the mystery is there, I want you to enjoy it. Because that recipe is the perfect recipe for you and me. When you and I, in a measure, come into the comprehension of that love goes beyond the knowledge of anything. It's called knowledge surpassing love. There is a word again. What is it? Surpassing. That which is beyond and much more beyond. So when Matthew 5, 36 to 48, when someone asks you to walk 1 mile, what do you do? Huh? When someone asks you for a coat, you give your tunic. When someone slaps you on one cheek, what do? You give him a black eye. You understand what I'm saying? I'm saying in the normal course, there is reaction. Naturally, in the demonic realm, there is resistance. But in the realm of spirituality, in the realm of spiritual, there is divine reality. Divine reality. This life is possible. It's not ideal. It's real. It's practical. We must allow God to open us up to have this understanding. That's why it's a mystery to me as a Christian. Not that we have weaknesses and we are failures. When there is an attack that comes from one person to the other person who are brothers and sisters in the church, because this attack, if viewed from the viewpoint of God, is not biblical. It's not. Because if you really read it, it doesn't matter what happens. It is the attack. So a person who is under attack, if he is able to comprehend, his calling is not over. If in a relationship something happens, your marriage or whatever, it is not over. Your life is not over because God is enabling you for something that is unique that no eye has seen and no ear has heard. So when I meet a person like that and I know that something happened to the person, I would want to get into it and try to say, yeah, I know this happened to you. And why and what? And the person says, hey, wait a minute. That you might be what? I thought you're going throughs. Going throughs and coming throughs are always there. But God is, he knows about going through and coming through, but he wants to take you into the place where you live in fullness. That you and I reach a point of satisfaction in that love. Do you understand what I'm saying today? And for that, he uses the four dimensions of it, and I have to close because it's quarter off, and you've been a patient audience today. So the Apostle Paul is saying, I want to tell you something, Ephesians. Are you ready? I'm in jail. It's like he's excited. Are you? So he's preparing you. He's preparing you. He's, so every time we come to God, we are being prepared and built up for something that God wants to impart to us, but it is weighty in nature. What is it? With that measure of privilege comes a corresponding responsibility. So now he can release the us to an arena where there is chaos, where there is conflict, where there is confusion. Understand? He can release us because the preparation has already happened. Now he wants to see if this that is inside of us, planted there in the memory, can now be manifested outside. And he's saying in Ephesians chapter 3, this was a mystery that was hidden God since the foundations of the world, but now unto principalities and powers in heavenly places, this manifold wisdom is being made known. So you and I, all of a sudden, are on display. All of a sudden are on display for something that God had planned ages ago, but now that has been manifested. You and I struggle to go to the botanical gardens. Guys kick us in the crowd. We see one rose flower. Huh? You take 6-hour trips to Ooty, come down, and after that you're exhausted. You need 1 week leave to recover from the holiday. Just to see something unusual. Here is something unusual happening in our midst and nobody seems to care. They're boring. What's your Sunday morning? I know clothes. Come on, get up. Sari is 5 meters long. You should have had dinner yesterday. Where's the breakfast? Idli is a toast. Idli is what? You missed the whole service. Yeah, I know what Pastor is going to say when he gets on the pulpit. I'm fed up with him. 10 years I've been listening to the same old things here and there. No, I'll tell you something. The Corinthian church was a very gifted church, but they lost the opportunity to be a trophy in heaven because they allowed certain things to come. And the Apostle Paul time and again is repeating it to them. That's why in the book of Revelation, and I'm closing finally, very dangerous to live in Ephesians, Revelation 2:4. They try to intellectualize that love. Cannot do it. Because the more you try to intellectualize it, the more you will not understand it. And they had come to the place where they thought they had dissected it. You understand that? And you cannot dissect it. The fragrance that filled the room with which the woman anointed the feet of Jesus in the alabaster could not be computed. And they said 300 days wage is equivalent to that bottle. And Jesus Christ said, you cannot compute it in the light of that which is immeasurable, because you cannot dissect the aroma, even though you can compute its value. Man computes value before God, but cannot dissect the aroma that goes to God. We are always calculating. But there is something that is incalculable in the kingdom of God. Father, we ask, minister to us, remainder of our day. Bless the baptisms. We are in an amazing place, planted by you in the mystery of the body of Christ. We look at each other as trophies, as workmanship of your creation. Help us to understand these things. Prepare us for that which you know, has been prepared for us. The possibilities that we sometimes look at impossible things. It's not possible. And you said it's possible to them that believe. Nothing is what? Impossible with God. So to be able to comprehend these things, to see it from the eyes of faith, we pray. Blessed one, we ask you minister to us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You are dismissed. Who are the ones getting baptized today? Can you stand?